This season, Toyota Racing is looking for jugglers.
Aha!
Not the ones who toss balls or rings. Fans that can juggle the rigors of a 10-month-long season across many different racing circuits.
Well, what if I added knives?
What if you added GR Cup, Formula Drift, and off-road racing? If you can juggle it all, then we want you. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places. Formula Drift is a registered trademark of Formula Drifts Holdings, LLC.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at zonepouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone. With Zone Nicotine Pouches.
The following is a production of the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network presents NASCAR Live.
But up front, it continues to be Corey Heim. He pulls away by 10, 12, 15 truck lengths back to Taylor Gray.
Here they come for the final time through turns 16, 17, and 18. The battle inside of the top five will be for second with Taylor Gray, Ty Majeski, and Connor Zilich. But Corey Heim clears turn number 19. He's headed for home.
Corey Heim can almost coast it all the way to the start-finish line. He's got a huge lead over second place man Taylor Gray. It is Heim off of turn 20, up through the gearbox, headed to the stripe. It is Heim time once again at Circuit of the Americas. Corey Heim wins the Expel 225.
Yeah, I was super nervous. On the last lap of the last restart, I stuttered a little bit on the right-handers because the fuel pickup's on the opposite side and all the fuel would go to one side. I thought I was going to be out by the time I came back around, but luckily got a couple left-handers to end the course and had fuel. So
NASCAR Live is brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. From the MRN studios in Concord, North Carolina, here is your host, Mike Bagley.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of NASCAR Live here on the Motor Racing Network. Mike Bagley and the entire MRN crew here with you as we come off a visit to Austin, Texas and the Circuit of the Americas and transition this weekend to our return to short track racing with a visit to the Richmond Raceway in Virginia. On tonight's show, we'll visit with Kyle Larson. Coming off a very challenging 17th place finish at COTA, Kyle's looking to rebound and perhaps maybe get win number 2 of the season this weekend in Richmond. And with Virginia having a rich history of grassroots racing, I'm going to sit down with NASCAR's managing director of Touring and Weekly, Joey Denowitz. We'll have our first Fast Forum of 2024. Chris Wilner and Kyle Rickey will join us. Plus, we'll also give you a tease of this week's episode of NASCAR Live Presents 2004 Chasing History. Before we bring Kyle into the Fast Forum, let's check in with Kyle for the latest in NASCAR headlines. Kyle, what do you have for us?
Mike, several NASCAR Cup Series teams will be taking part in a Goodyear tire test on Tuesday and Wednesday at the repaved racing surface at Sonoma Raceway in California. The two-day session will help Goodyear officials determine the proper tire compound and construction for the upcoming race there on June 9th. The three Cup Series teams that will be participating are Ross Chastain in his Trackhouse Chevrolet, Josh Berry in his Ford for Stewart Haas Racing, and Martin Truex Jr. representing Joe Gibbs Racing in the Toyota camp. Following their first Cup Series race last weekend at Circuit of the Americas, MBM Motorsports announced on Monday that they will run at least 2 more races this season. They will take to the track twice in May. First, in the All-Star race at the North Wilkesboro Speedway with driver Timmy Hill, and then later in the month at Charlotte Motor Speedway for the Coca-Cola 600 with David Starr. And Ty Dillon is set to make his first 2024 NASCAR Cup Series start as Colleague Racing announced on Monday that he'll be behind the wheel of the number 16 Chevrolet Camaro at Richmond Raceway in Sunday evening's Toyota Owners 400. Dillon, a 10-year Cup Series veteran with over 200 career starts, will compete in a limited schedule for Colleague Racing this season. He'll also be back behind the wheel in Texas, New Hampshire, again in Richmond, and at the Kansas Speedway to wrap up his Cup Series season. Mike?
Thank you, Kyle. Coming up, Kyle Larson joins the show.
Craftsman in your hand, nothing stopping you. Not a chair, creaky stand, or even engine repair. Craftsman in your hand, nothing you can't do. Like a lawn, Mickey John, or that kitchen add-on. Craftsman in your hand.
outdoor care to home and auto repair. Do it with Craftsman. Find the tools, equipment, and storage you need at your local Lowe's, Ace Hardware, or Craftsman.com.
This is NASCAR Live. Now, back to Mike Bagley.
Welcome back to NASCAR Live. Kyle Larson is off to another solid start as the Hendrick Motorsports driver has already claimed a victory in 2024. This weekend, he'll return to Richmond Raceway, a track where he's won at twice in his career. Our Chris Wilner sat down with Kyle to preview this weekend's action and also get his thoughts on whether or not we'll see racing this weekend similar to the racing we got at Bristol.
One more lap at Richmond Raceway for Kyle Larson.
Tried to put an exclamation point on the day. Kyle Larson has had a career day here at Richmond. Strong early, good middle, but best late. Here's Larson for the final time off the end of the backstretch.
Chevrolet domination in 2023 will continue. Career win number 20 off four. Final time, and Kyle Larson has won here at Richmond.
Kyle, crazy Bristol race. Obviously, you guys fought back to get a top five finish, which was, you know, impressive how late in the race that you guys had to come back from. But as a driver, how much fun was it having to manage tires? Because I don't think anybody saw that coming.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. I know fans kind of just took my one comment of, I hope I never have to do that again. I think I probably could have explained myself a little bit better or longer, but I had a blast. Like, that was, I've never been in a race ever like that. So it was a lot of fun to try and, you learn throughout it. It wasn't, you know, I don't think any of us were expecting it to be like that when, you know, the green flag dropped, because normally in practice, like, get, you know, marbles build up and there's no rubber laying down, but you're like, okay, well, I mean, once it gets to the race, you know, the rubber will get laid down. Well, it never did. So trying to learn, you know, throughout the race was really cool. And then, you know, just, yeah, trying to figure it out. We all were trying to figure out the same time and same pace, but yeah, it was hard to manage, right? Because, like, even when you were managing, you were still wearing your tires down to the cords. You were just, I guess, doing it a few laps less than people. But, yeah, it was interesting for sure. And you know, we were all smiling after the race. So, you know, I did have a lot of fun for sure.
Smiling is good, that's for sure. But I know Bristol's kind of almost like a standalone in itself when we talk short track racing. Because, like, for instance, going to Richmond, it's going to be completely different. I know you were pretty good there last year. You said, like, in the heat, maybe the car didn't work as well. What do you expect this time around when we go to Richmond?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll be much better than we were in the fall, hopefully, because we were really bad. But, yeah, the spring, I mean, we were, I don't know, third, fourth place car and just executed well. And I think we won there last year. So, yeah, hopefully you just pay attention. I think that place is very temperature sensitive for what your setup needs. So, yeah, I think just pay attention to the weather and climate, and, you know, they'll make the right decisions to make my car handle well.
Here's Kyle Larson now working his way off the corner. He sees the checkered flag and the yellow flag in the air. The Federated Auto Parts 400 to Kyle Larson here at Richmond.
How do you see the short track package? I know Phoenix may not tell everything we're going to know about Richmond, so how maybe different will that play a factor when we go there?
Yeah, I think you know, the one experience we've got at Phoenix, I think it was slightly better. You know, I figured it wasn't going to look way different, whether it be better or worse. You know, it wasn't going to be way different than what we, you know, is normal. But I think Richmond will be a little bit better than what Phoenix was, just because you've got tire fall off, you've got, you know, it's just slick. It's a little bit more, I'm afraid to call it more technical. It's just different, you know, but yeah, we'll see. I think with the extra grip that I felt like I had on entry at Phoenix, I think you'll be able to kind of use that grip and use that shape to benefit yourself at Richmond a little bit more than Phoenix.
Just in general, where is the state of your guys, the five-team short track package, as we look forward to these couple short tracks coming up and, of course, you know, going back in the fall?
Well, I mean, we all finished really bad at Phoenix. So, you know, I think on paper it looks like we were horrible. But, you know, William and Chase, they ran towards the front. Just the strategy kind of got them, you know, mixed up in the back. And then us with the five-team, and I don't know how Alex's race went really there. I think he was always in front of me. But, you know, Phoenix for us and the five-team, I actually thought my car wasn't that bad. I mean, I felt like I would probably been like a seventh-place car or something. Just I didn't qualify good. We had, you know, a not normal day for us on pit road, and your wheels getting kind of hung up trying to put them on. So I always had to restart at the back, and I could, you know, pass some cars, but then you get stuck. So, yeah, I think we were much better than 14th where we finished. But, yeah, I mean, can't be satisfied either with if I thought I had a seventh place car. So, yeah, you try to work hard to get better, which, you know, Hendrick Motorsports does a really good job at.
Thank you, Chris. Coming up, Joey Denowitz will join us.
Hey, everyone, it's Kyle Busch. At Cheddar's, you get a variety of American classics in a place that feels like home. They have comfort food like hand-breaded chicken tenders, homemade chicken pot pie with nearly a half a pound of roasted chicken under that golden flaky crust, slow-smoked baby back ribs so big they're falling off the plate, all for unbeatable prices. And the best part? A free honey butter croissant for every guest. Now, that's how they do it. Cheddar's. Get a lot for not a lot.
This is NASCAR Live. Now, back to Mike Bagley.
Folks, it's that time of year. We always hear about folks wanting to take kids to ballparks and ball games. But how about taking a kid to a racetrack? There's a lot of regional racetracks that are firing up over the course of the next few weeks, couple of months or so. Let's bring in Joey Denowitz, NASCAR's Managing Director of Weekly and Touring Series, to elaborate. Joey, welcome to NASCAR Live. How are we doing today?
What's up, guys? I'm fantastic. I'm just as itchy to get to the racetrack as you guys are.
So for those that may have missed it, in February, the regional effort was formalized. NASCAR taking a very formalized approach to what a lot of men and women do on the weekly level, semi-national level. Break down the regional effort for everybody and where that stands here coming into 2024.
Sure. Great question. I appreciate it. I'll start by, when I took this job a little less than a year ago, I went to my family who followed my racing since I was 10 years old and had been around it ever since. And I told them that I was the managing director of Weekly and Touring. And they didn't know what that meant. Wasn't it all weekly? Doesn't it mostly tour? Like, where is the delineation? And Ben Kennedy, you know, one of the first things he told me was, hey, we should probably figure out a way to make this a little easier for people to understand. So that being said, we went through a full brand restudy and poked through 30 or 40 different interviews with promoters and racetrack operators, sponsors, drivers, all kinds of people that are in that industry, and settled that regional was probably the most or easiest way to describe what we do. We have the national series, we have the international series, and then we have these series that are primarily based in these regions. And that would include the ARCA Menards series, East, West, and the Midwest, or the Whelen Modified Tour, as well as the Advanced Auto Parts Weekly Series. So being able to kind of more succinctly explain what that is to other marketers or fans was really important. And we feel like it's a little bit easier to understand for everybody.
You know, a lot of us get so wrapped up on what goes on at the Cup level, the Xfinity Series, the truck level. They are the national touring series, the national series that make their way all across the country. But I think in part, whether it be large or small, that the men and women on the grassroots level get largely overlooked. But in my opinion, they're the most important part of the food chain. They give the grassroots efforts. They give the opportunities for young men and women to start, learn the craft, and work their way up. How important, in your opinion, are those men and women at these short tracks all across the country as they get set to get going here in 24?
Not only am I biased because it's my job and they pay me to do it, but I'm also biased because I grew up doing this. I grew up racing at weekly racetracks, and I know how important they are to me as I moved through the ranks and eventually got jobs in national series. Everyone that you see in the national series, nearly everyone has had some type of start or some experience at the weekly level. So it's really, really important to have that connective tissue in all the different areas of this country that we have those in. And it's also really important to develop really good talent, give those race car drivers that want to make it to the national series a good, organized and professional opportunity to race, so that when they do get to the national series, they're prepared.
Now, the regional effort is comprised of many different racing opportunities, whether it is the ARCA Menards Premier Series, the ARCA Menards East Series, the West Series, but also you talk about the Modified Tour, the Advanced Auto Parts Weekly Series. All of that can be found at NASCAR.com/regional. What we're speaking of most recently is obviously the weekly series, right? Those men and women that get started racing late models and then move up. You and I were talking before we went on the air. You enjoy it. I enjoy it. I know a lot of folks out there enjoy it. And through MRN and through FS1 and through Flow Racing, they can enjoy the Modified Tour, which will be racing Friday night at Richmond Raceway. How much of a kick is it to go through the garage at a Whelen Modified Tour racetrack?
The first week that I had on the job, everyone was very cordial. They were very, very nice to me. They all welcomed me with open arms. The second weekend on the job, they all told me all the things I was doing wrong. And honestly, I think I could probably sum up my time in the Modified Tour just that simply. It is a lot of fun to be with people that will tell you exactly what they think, and that is the Modified Tour. And it's amazing racing. I watched probably one of their biggest events is the New Hampshire event at New Hampshire Motor Speedway, and three drivers went in on the white flag lap into turn three, crossed up sideways, and I still don't know how they didn't end up wrecking. So between the racing and the personalities, the Modified Tour is a lot of fun, and I cannot wait to go to the Virginias for Lovers 150 this weekend at Richmond.
You know what's great about the ARCA Menards Series Premier East and West is that provides a lot of opportunity for young men and women to really get the first taste of what it's like to drive a heavy, full-fendered stock car, similar to what is up the food chain in trucks, Xfinity, and Cup. And I see value in those ARCA series. I'm sure NASCAR sees that value as well.
Yeah, the most important people that see value in it are the people that are curating that talent and building upon that talent. That includes Toyota Motor Company, General Motors. A lot of our OEMs are investing in drivers to run those series so that they have the acumen once they get to the national series that they're ready to rock. And like you said, not only is the CG a little bit higher, the center of gravity a little higher, they can get a little bit more of a feel for a heavier stock car, but also you're running on racetracks that you're going to run on in the national series as well. Give them experience at mile and a half and 2 mile racetracks they wouldn't have gotten otherwise.
Speaking with Joey Denowitz, who's NASCAR's managing director of weekly and touring, as it's called, or at least that's what it says on the business card. So right now, the end of March, we're getting ready to go into early April. There's going to be a lot of efforts around the country with local short tracks firing up. What's the effort like from the sanctioning body's perspective to maybe spotlight and highlight some of these openings and drive people to these racetracks to see these young men and women?
I think one of the easiest ways to do it, and one of the ways that we've found to be successful, is content. There are storylines all across the country and Canada for our weekly series. There are storylines in the ARCA series and the Modified Tour. These personalities are fun to engage with and be a part of. So how do we as a sanctioning body spotlight those personalities? And the best way we can do it is through content. We've invested a fair amount into our content team in the last 12 months. And I think that's probably one of the biggest opportunities for us, is to share those storylines and do all that. And those NASCAR/regional can point you to those directions, and mostly NASCAR regional on most of the social platforms can get some of that stuff going, and you'll enjoy it. There's some fun moments.
been fun catching up on some of these drivers that we don't necessarily know about, but through the storytelling and through this effort, we've been able to get to know them. We can't wait to get to Richmond, the Wheeland Modified Tour. Virginia is for Racing Lovers 150. Motor Racing Network will have the call Friday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. But most importantly, if you're in the Commonwealth of Virginia, swing on out to Richmond Raceway and enjoy some good old Mod Squad racing under the lights there at the old Action Track. Appreciate it, my friend. Congratulations on the new opportunity. I know you'll make the most of it. And we can't wait to start opening up these short tracks around the country and get the regional effort well underway here in 2024.
Support your local short tracks, Bags. I appreciate you having me on.
I love it. That's Joey Danowitz, NASCAR's Managing Director of Weekly and Touring Series. We have a show here on MRN that's dedicated to the weekly and touring efforts. It's called NASCAR Coast to Coast. Hosts Chris Wilner and Kyle Rickey will join me next.
Kyle Larson brings his Chevy in four tires, Sunoco Racing Fuel.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR.
Here for Ryan Blaney, four tires with Sunoco fuel.
From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
This is NASCAR Live. Now, back to Mike Bagley.
Welcome back to NASCAR Live. As you heard a moment ago, we're getting ready to fire up some short tracks, some regional racing over the course of the springtime days and weeks and months to come. We figured we would tap in to our host of NASCAR Coast to Coast, which you can check out at MRN.com, Chris Wilner. Kyle Rickey is here as we continue our regional review of matters here in the springtime. Gentlemen, welcome to NASCAR Live. How are we all doing today?
We're good, Mike. How are you?
Fantastic. Kyle, things well up in Connecticut?
Things are well. Still a little chilly, but we'll be warming up here for some opening weekends coming up here in the next couple of months.
Before we dive into those details, for those that have not heard NASCAR Coast to Coast, Chris, what can they expect when they twist you and Kyle in on a weekly basis?
Yeah, it's our weekly dive into all things NASCAR Regional, which of course was the rebranding this year from formerly NASCAR Roots. So covering all things NASCAR short tracks, everything from the ARCA Menards series, each of its three platforms, to the NASCAR Wheeland Modified Tour, also some NASCAR weekly series, the Advanced Auto Parts weekly series we cover. Of course, they've got their national championship that's tabulated throughout the year. So keep tabs on that and mainly just spotlight the up and comers of the grassroots level of racers that are looking to take rides at the NASCAR National Series in the coming years and introduce them to our NASCAR audience. And there'll be names. And so far we've had quite the guest list on the show already, names that you'll get to know quite a bit here in the coming years.
Well, let's dive in. Chris started with the ARCA Menards Premier Series. Kyle, who's the standout there? Season is still young, but they are racing nonetheless.
Yeah, just a couple of races in. One of those events, a combination race at the Phoenix Raceway a couple of weeks ago. Greg Van Alst, been the most consistent so far, the championship point leader. I like the drivers at Rev Racing right now. Running a full season, both among the top five. Rev Racing's been having a great year across the platform. Andres Perez, LeVar Scott, both consistently in the first two races have found themselves at least toward the front of the field at both Daytona and Phoenix. Those two are standing out. Amber Balkan leading the several ladies that are running full-time this year, driving for Venturini Motorsports this season. She's also had a great start to the 2024 campaign.
And of course, we talk about the Premier Series, but there are dotted lines to the West Series and the East Series. Chris, those series are underway with those combo platter races that Kyle just referred to a moment ago.
They certainly are. You know, the ARCA West Series was a part of the ARCA Menards Series trip out to Phoenix there a couple of weeks ago where we saw William Sawalich get a bit of a redemption win. He led like 93 laps last spring and got taken out in a late wreck, was able to win a rain-shortened event out there in Phoenix. But you're right, these combo events between the West Series and, of course, the East Series kicked off just this past weekend at Five Flags. It's an opportunity for some spoilers, and particularly William Sawalich, who I mentioned, and Gio Ruggiero are going to be kind of the names that make be a part of these combo events when they go to tracks like Dover for the E-Series and the Menards Series, and also when we go later on in the season to places like Iowa that could play spoilers. So you kind of have these names not maybe taking part in the Premier Series, but they're going to come on in and they may ruffle some feathers and shake up the championship in their own right just in these combo events.
It's always fun to see these new names bubble up and become factors as they get their sea legs under them. Speaking of that, Wheel and Modified Tour in play this weekend at Richmond. We love the Mod Squad. We love them at Richmond. Kyle, I know that that's a soft spot in your heart. Where does the Wheel and Modified Tour stand here in this young portion of the season?
It is. They've only had one event at the New Smyrna Speedway to open things up a couple of months ago. Part of Speed Weeks down there in February. Obviously, the early favorites are the most recent champions, Ron Silk and Justin Bonsignor. Doug Covey going to be driving for Tommy Baldwin this weekend at the Richmond Raceway. Jake Johnson, one of the new young up-and-comers, driving for the longest-running team on the tour, Old Blue, the Bowler Family Racing number 3 car, Marcello Raffrano. He'll be making his debut this weekend at the Richmond Raceway, an SK Modified standout up here in the Northeast at the Stafford Speedway and the Thompson Speedway. So very healthy right now. Then you add in Ryan Newman and Bobby Labonte. So I can't wait to see the race to kick off the weekend this Friday night at Richmond Raceway. Very healthy field and a lot of talent from top to bottom.
And least but certainly not last is the Advance Auto Parts Weekly Series. These are the late model cars and drivers that dot the fruited plain. We talk about grassroots racing and regional racing. This is where the young race car drivers go to get experience, to develop skill sets. And I know that while not all the tracks are open, Chris, they're about to be. And this is a fun time of year when these short tracks start firing up all across the country.
It really is. You know, each and every year when we look at the NASCAR home tracks and kind of the stable of racetracks under this regional banner in the weekly series, it continues to grow tenfold every year. And just seems like we talk about a new track almost every week on our show on NASCAR Coast to Coast. And you're right. I mean, I think this is the time of year where we have a few already open. Hickory Motor Speedway, of course, where NASCAR drivers are born up here in the Carolinas. Florence Motor Speedway in South Carolina, South Boston. They're already off to a great start. And already some big names like Connor Hall are defending national champion, picking up a couple of wins. But you're right, this is about the time of year when we start to get a lot of racetracks beginning to dust off the old the snow in some regions like Berlin. Shout out Jeff Striegel. Hopefully get some of that snow out of the way. They open up in a few weeks. But April 6th and 7th is a huge weekend when we look at Langley and the Virginia late model scene out there, host of the Hampton Heat. And of course, Thompson up by Kyle Ricci in Connecticut. They'll open up that weekend of April 6th and 7th, as well as Nashville Fairgrounds, which is a legendary track when we talk about short track racing. So we're about to get to that time. I think short track fans are just itching to get some short track racing in, and we're about to get that all that underway here in the coming weeks.
And of course, you can follow along NASCAR.com/regional to tap into all that we're discussing here on NASCAR Live. Chris just talked about Thompson. Kyle, I know Stafford. You have an interest in Stafford. When does the schedule get fired up? What's the status of the weather up there in the Northeast as you try to shake off the chills and get going here with the springtime heat?
Yeah, the weather right now in the 50s, so we'll take it for being in March still. We have about 3 weeks before we really get cranking at the Stafford Motor Speedway in preparation of the Spring Sizzler, the last weekend of April, the 26th and the 27th. So already about 30 cars entered for that event, expecting roughly around 50. So it's going to be a great way to open up the season. Hopefully Mother Nature cooperates. She did not very much last year, but fingers are crossed that we get a nice, you know, 65, 70 degree cloudless day at the end of April to open up the season. And for all the short tracks up here in the Northeast, I mean, they got hammered a year ago. I feel like half the season was rained out for many of those short tracks up here in New England, and hopefully 2024 a little bit better for everybody.
So as these short tracks get fired up here in the springtime, be sure to go out, check it out, whether it's ARCA Racing, East, West, or Premier, the Mod Squad, the Advanced Auto Parts Weekly Series. There's going to be racing near you. I always talk about taking a kid to the ballpark, take a kid to the racetrack, and develop that young race fan out there, as you're going to have plenty of opportunity to do it in short order. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Kyle Ricci, Chris Wilner, that is NASCAR Coast to Coast. Check it out on MRN.com. But in the department of weight, there's more. Chris, Kyle, don't go anywhere. We're going to transition the discussion into NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and truck racing as our NASCAR Live Fast Forum continues.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is NASCAR Live. Now, back to Mike Bagley.
Welcome back to NASCAR Live. We continue on our Fast Forum with the hosts of NASCAR Coast to Coast, Chris Wilner and Kyle Rickey. We've just gotten done talking about a lot of short track racing. We're getting ready for short track racing this weekend and next at Richmond and Martinsville. Let's talk some NASCAR Cup Series racing. Kyle, I'll chat with you. Six races in. Who stands out to you so far?
Who stands out? That's a tough one because there hasn't been a lot of consistency among really anybody, I feel like. But obviously the Joe Gibbs Racing Toyotas stand out. They've been the most consistent over the first six events. And maybe more so, it's Ty Gibbs. I mean, where did he come from? From year one to year two, currently second in the championship standings. Quietly consistent, has yet to get that first win, but has been so close on a couple of different occasions this year, and he's looked good at all types of racetracks on the track, and it's amazing in the media sessions that I've been a part of this year, the maturity that he has gained just in the last couple of months for Ty Gibbs, and he's going to be tough, I think, the rest of this season.
The last five, pretty solid for Ty Gibbs. He was 10th at Atlanta. He was 5th at Las Vegas, 3rd at Phoenix, 9th at Bristol, 3rd at COTA. We've also been having discussions about William Byron. You know, you got a guy like Ty Gibbs sitting there with those numbers, but you also have a very quiet Martin Truex Jr. with things brewing. William Byron, 2 wins on the year. Chris, where would you say the standout is? Maybe not standing out by much, but maybe a little differentiator with all those drivers.
Yeah, I think you mentioned William Byron. I think, even Rudy Fugel was pretty candid about it after their win at COTA this past weekend. It's just, maybe everybody can stop doubting us that was kind of a one-off deal and that maybe weren't able to repeat of the momentum we had last year. They're right back on the horse. There's no doubt about it in the performance that they had this weekend. So I think William Byron, this could be the springboard, especially going into some short track races, like you mentioned with Richmond and Martinsville coming up. And even the rest of the season, when we get back to the mile and a half, I think they can really flex their muscle here in the spring time this season, especially spending some time with him at Hendrick Motorsports last week. They were pretty confident in their short track package. We talk about that's been a huge talking point, going into this season, the changing of the short track package, and they felt like they've probably learned the most. And so I wouldn't be surprised if Lynn goes out and has a great weekend again, he and Rudy Fugel and that entire 24 team at Richmond this weekend. So I think he stands out a little bit. Kyle Larson too, sneaky, has been probably one of the most consistent, maybe with the exception of one or two events, but again, had led the points going into COTA, finished in the top 10, just outside the top 10. So he could be another guy too out of the Hendrick stable that can sneak up there. But where are the Fords, Mike? That's what I want to know. Where are the Fords at?
Well, that's a very good question, because when you look at the Fords, they've only got two in the top 12. Everybody else 16th or worse right now, and Ford is trying to find their way. Let's talk about some Xfinity Series racing. Been a mixed bag over there. Only two series winners have won, or two series regulars have won, in Austin Hill and Chandler Smith. Kyle Larson won this past week. John Hunter Nemechek's got a win at Las Vegas. It's kind of hard to plot out series favorites right now when it appears to be, Kyle, a grab bag, not knowing what we're going to get when we show up at the racetrack.
It is seemingly wide open. Austin Hill, probably the most consistent, multiple wins. I feel like he's a factor each and every time the Xfinity Series takes to the racetrack. Chandler Smith obviously has a win. I like Jesse Love, rookie year driving for Richard Childress Racing, coming off an ARCA championship, dominated that series a year ago. Probably what we say the most diverse series in motorsports. They run dirt tracks, short tracks, road courses. Currently top five in the championship standings. I like Jesse Love right now.
Well, it's funny you bring Jesse Love up, because we were having a conversation about him the other day, Chris. When you look at what he did in ARCA Menards Series last year, he won the championship, won half the races. And we all thought there was going to be a little learning curve for him, right? Transitioning to a heavier stock car, Richard Childress Racing. I would say that young man needs no transition time. He has proven himself to be a formidable contender already in the handful of races that we've had so far.
Yeah, he really has. It seems like everything that's been thrown at Jesse Love, he's been able to adapt and probably be one of the most, you know, adaptable race car drivers we've seen in recent times. You know, you kind of talk about the cup level Kyle Larson and his ability to drive anything. Well, Jesse Love's proving that too here in just a short time in his Xfinity Series career. He was down at Sebring, wanted to work on his road course ability, running the Mazda MX-5 Cup last week before COTA. So he's all in on this deal. And you're right. It's been a bit of a surprise, but at the same time, talking to Jesse, he's not surprised at all. He's like, I've had a ton of confidence coming in. He actually surprised himself saying, I think the Xfinity car drives a lot better than what I thought it was going to be before he even stepped foot inside the RCR Chevrolet coming up this season. So yeah, you're right. Jesse Love is certainly on a roll. Can he sustain that over such a long schedule? You look at the Arca Menard Series schedule, it's barely half of the number of races that what the Xfinity Series runs. So can you sustain that is going to be the big question, but certainly off to a great start.
Of course, Jesse Love driving Chevrolets for Richard Childress Racing, and Chevrolets, Kyle, have punctuated the winning landscape in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. Nick Sanchez, Rajat Caruth, Christian Eckes with wins. You've also got Kyle Busch with a win. But yep. Toyota got their first this past weekend with Corey Heim. Where are the trucks right now as they enter an off weekend soon to go into race six at Martinsville next weekend?
I think there's a lot of parity in the truck series right now, and this might be that year where we have more winners than playoff spots. Already five winners, five races. Granted, one of them is Kyle Busch and is obviously not playoff eligible, but you look at guys like Ty Majeski and Tyler Ankrum, Matt Crafton, Ben Rhodes, drivers that we know are capable of winning, that is, that have yet to pick up a victory, on top of Corey Heim and Rajat Caruth, Christian Eckes and Nick Sanchez, that have all been to victory lane. Very competitive year, and you know, there's a lot of drivers deeper in the field. Stuart Friesen, when's he going to get his season turned around? If he does, it's been wild, it's been fun to watch, and again, wide open right now, I think, in the truck series. There's really not one favorite, although it is still early.
I agree. I think, you know, when you look at the number of winners, I certainly think we could get to that, you know, total in terms of the amount of playoff spots. But I'm more impressed with the McAnally-Hilgelman trucks. I think, you know, when you look at what Tyler Ankrum's been able to do this year, having talked to him back at Vegas, he was questioning whether he wanted to continue driving. I mean, his career was in arguably one of the biggest slumps anybody can have, not winning since 2019 and barely making, you know, top tens, it seemed like, the last couple of years. But it's been a breath of fresh air, and I think it just speaks to what they been able to put in Bill McAnally and that whole organization and the strength of all their trucks, because Christian Eckes is a threat every week. And I'm not surprised at the players at the front of the field. I am surprised, though, when you look at the strength of those trucks to the maybe questionable strength right now of Thor Sport. And besides Ty Majeski, who's kind of out here on an island, seems like the rest of the organization struggling just a little bit. Now, Ben Rhodes, a lot of that can be pointed to bad luck, but, you know, we're typically used to seeing him strong early, maybe have a midseason slump and then come on at the end of the season. But man, here we go going into Martinsville, and he's scratching the bottom of the barrel outside the top 15, trying to get back in the points. So can Martinsville be the place? I don't know. So there's kind of two opposite ends. You've got the strength of McAnally, and we're kind of still waiting for Thor Sport to really flex their muscle this year.
Backing up to McAnally, Bill McAnally, the owner, told me in Daytona they have 41 trucks ready to race. They have expanded that racing operation, and it looks like they've got the infrastructure to maintain it. It looks like they're maintaining it on the racetrack. Gentlemen, it's all the time we have for this week's NASCAR Live Fast Forum. We appreciate you being with us. Be sure, everyone, check out NASCAR Coast to Coast with Chris Warner, Kyle Ricci, MRN.com. Every week, they'll get you covered soup to nuts. Gentlemen, we'll catch up soon. We appreciate you being a part of the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
That's Chris Wilner, Kyle Ricci of NASCAR Coast to Coast. Check it out, MRN.com.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
This is NASCAR Live. Now back to Mike Bagley.
Welcome back to NASCAR Live. Yesterday, we released episode 6 of our podcast series, NASCAR Live Presents 2004 Chasing History. This week's episode highlights the beginning and end of an era at Roush Racing. NASCAR saying goodbye to a long-standing tradition. Dale Earnhardt Jr. achieving something he'd do only once in his Cup Series career. And Jeremy Mayfield making history. Here's a tease of this week's episode. Jeff Burton had raced one last time for owner Jack Roush, a tenure that started in 1996 and had led to 17 Cup Series wins from 1997 to 2001. Jeff was the first man not named Mark Martin to earn the organization a win in NASCAR's highest level of competition. At the time, things weren't going well between the two parties.
Well, it really started the year before. We weren't running that well. At the same time, the economy was not going well, and sponsorships were few and far between. And we had been a successful championship contending race team, and we went on a drought, and then we went on a little drought about the same time that sponsorship was really, really difficult. So we actually ran a full year unsponsored. You know, Jack and Jeff Smith and everybody, they were like fully committed. Like, you wouldn't have known that we didn't have a sponsor. We didn't race any differently. We didn't buy any less tires. We didn't test any differently. However, it was a dark cloud, you know, over the 99 team. And it just was hard to overcome. It was hard to hire the right people. It was hard to, you just felt like you were being a burden on the team. And it just weighed heavy on me that Jack and, you know, Roush was having, you know, Roush Industries was having to fund that car, and it didn't feel right. And they didn't want to make me feel bad about it. They were like, look, don't worry about it. We got it, you know, but I did, and we weren't having success. And I was in a situation where I was in a contract year, and the opportunity came available to go drive for Richard. And at the same time, Carl Edwards was sitting there in running Xfinity. And I felt strongly that Carl Edwards could step right in and be successful in the 99 car. I even called Carl when I told them I was leaving. I called Carl and I said, dude, you need to be aggressive. Like, this needs to be your ride. And I told Jack and I told Jeff and I told everybody that would listen, look, Carl Edwards is the guy that should be in this car. And it just felt to me it was time for a change for me, but it was time for a change for Roush too. We both needed something different. And in retrospect, I was right. I mean, it took us a little, you know, a year to get going at RCR, but once we got going, I think we made the playoffs 4 years in a row. We made, in three of those years, all the cars at RCR made the playoffs. We made huge strides, and the 99 did too. The 99 started winning races and got themselves where they needed to be. So it was a win-win, but it was painful. You know, Jack is the guy that gave me the big break to drive for the right team. And he treated me like a grown adult, let me be involved heavily in the race team. And it was a really difficult, I mean, I literally cried when I was talking to Jack about it. It was a really difficult decision, but it was the right decision for everybody. And time proved that to be right.
Jeff handled the situation delicately and with diplomacy as he transitioned to an organization that had wanted him in the fold for quite some time.
You know, it really started with Dale. You know, Dale Sr. started it years before, talking to me about the possibility of, when he retired, the possibility of me replacing him at the 3. We had a very frank conversation about it at Daytona. We had another conversation about it later. That's really where it started, years before. And then Richard probably had always let me know, you know, he'd always let me know, hey, if there's ever an opportunity. He never did anything inappropriate. He never tried to do anything that was, you know, outside of a contract. He just was, hey, if you ever have an opportunity, I'd love you to be part of this program. And so then when he reached back out, it was at a time where, we could talk and we could make a change if needed. And I spent some time talking to Richard and spent some time talking to Roush too. You know, it wasn't like I just walked in the door, you know, and said, hey, I'm leaving. It was over some discussions. So yeah, I mean, it was a new lease on energy for me. I do remember Russell Branham worked for me at the time. He now is at Talladega. He and my wife, we were having our kind of final meeting about what my decision was going to be. And I told both of them, I said, I don't want to hear any thing from either one of you about the 99 kicking our ass next year, because the 99 is going to kick our ass next year. And I don't want to listen. I'm not listening to it. I'm not getting on the airplane, going home, seeing you two pouting. I'm not dealing with it on a Monday morning. I'm not, because they're going to kick our ass next year. It's going to take a year and a half to get this thing where it needs to be. And it did. It took a year and a half. But I was very clear to both of them. I wasn't listening to it. Didn't want any part of the negativity. I knew what was coming because I knew Carl was really good, and I knew that team was building. I knew the changes we were making were good, but it was just time.
Even though the move seemed to make sense for both parties, it wasn't easy for Jeff to say goodbye.
It's always difficult to know when to do something different. When things are going terribly, it's easier, right? You know, I'm a loyal guy, and was especially to Jack Roush, and he had done everything he had ever told me he was going to do and more. And so coming to that realization had a lot of it to do with an opportunity. You know, if Richard Childress hadn't have called and said, hey, I'd like you to drive my car, and also done it in a way that I was more than just a driver, because that was my strength, helping build the race team, helping be involved. You know, Jeff Gordon's a better race car driver than I was, but I was a pretty damn hard worker. And so Richard gave me an opportunity to do what I thought I could do best and help build RCR back. And at the same time, I felt like the guy that deserved the next cup ride was getting in the 99. So I really thought that it was a win for everybody. And I know some people, you know, would say, well, why do you care about the 99 and Roush? Because without them, I'm not having this decision to make. And I was extremely, and to this day, I'm extremely loyal to Jack. You know, but it's hard anytime you make a change. But that whole year was about change, right? And this just added to it.
You can catch that full episode and the entire podcast series, NASCAR Live Presents 2004 Chasing History, at MRN.com or on your preferred podcast platform. Coming up, we'll flash back to the 2006 Crown Royal 400.
This is NASCAR Live. Now, back to Mike Bagley.
Welcome back to NASCAR Live. Before we head for the exits, let's hop into the MRN time machine and take you back to May 6th, 2006. The event was the Crown Royal 400 at Richmond Raceway, and it was the last win for a NASCAR superstar before he would make the jump to a new organization in 2007.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. shows the way. He goes up the banking a bit. The inside lane open once again. And Denny Hamlin feeling racy here in Richmond. He goes after it again. Pulls to the inside. But Jr. a little bit quicker this time into one.
Denny Hamlin is all over. Dale Earnhardt Jr. dives again to the inside. Jr. out drags him off turn number two. They're nose to tail. And less than a car length back is Kevin Harvick.
Five laps to go. They out of turn four. Back down to the line. Dale Jr. taking the high groove around. Hamlin strong at the bottom of the racetrack. He can't complete the pass. Kevin Harvick sitting back there in third thinking, well, maybe these two will get together, take each other out, and I'll win this thing. They go off turn two.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. doing a great job of keeping Denny Hamlin pinched to the bottom of the racetrack, not allowing him to use the momentum coming off the corner. Front three, nose to tail for the moment.
Denny Hamlin may be a rookie, but he sure doesn't act like it out there. He looks like a well-seasoned veteran trying to chase down Dale Earnhardt Jr. for the win here at Richmond. We're down to four laps to go.
Junior trying to flex some muscle and pull away one more time as they come up on the limping car of Jeff Burton. Earnhardt is opening up to a car length and a half. Another length and a half back to Kevin Harvick.
Both cars going to have to take the high groove this time out of the corner. Right out against the wall goes Dale Earnhardt Jr. Denny Hamlin loses a little ground to him as they hit the front straightaway and go back into two. He's got about two to three car lengths to make up. He's only got three laps left to get it done.
Earnhardt around the outside of the lap car of Jeff Burton, and he begins now to open it up a little bit more. Two car lengths, two and a half now, the advantage for Dale Jr.
Earnhardt Jr. off turn four, back to the start finish line. Two laps to go. He has four car lengths now over Denny Hamlin.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. just trying to ride out the last mile and a half. Denny Hamlin digging hard off turn number two, trying to close the gap, but he's not going to be able to do it. It's Earnhardt one more time into turn three.
Dale Jr. through three and four, hits the front straightaway. We'll see the white flag this time as he crosses the line, pulls Denny Hamlin by maybe four car lengths as they go back to turns one and two. Denny's not going to have anything to hang his head about, whether he finishes second or whatever. They go out of turn two and head for three.
Final time down the back straightaway. Dale Earnhardt Jr., large and in charge, heads for turn number four. He's off four for the checkers.
And for the first time in 2006, the Budweiser Chevy goes to victory lane.
You can hear that entire race right now at MRN.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. I'd like to thank Kyle Larson for joining us on this week's show. Our thanks to Joey Denowitz as well. I'm Mike Bagley. For the rest of the Amaran crew, we thank you for joining us. Don't forget, another installment of NASCAR Live wide open on Thursday. And we'll be back with you next Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of NASCAR Live. Until then, so long, everybody.
NASCAR Live is a production of the Motor Racing Network with studios in Concord, North Carolina, and was brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. Today's broadcast was produced by Trey Downing, Pat Jaggers, and Julian Council. The executive producer for MRN is Ryan Horn. Remember to visit MRN.com for all of the latest news and information. NASCAR Live is produced under an exclusive license with NASCAR. Any use of the accounts and descriptions contained in this broadcast must be with the express written permission of NASCAR and the Motor Racing Network.